How many of you are proud of your first car? You remember your first car? I don't think very many of us, there are very many of us who don't remember our very first car with some sort of fondness. No matter if yours was a clunker junker, or if it was given to you by your parents, or if you had to work very hard to save your money, most of us have some kind of an affinity for our first cars. We were somewhat proud of that thing, weren't we? It became a standard of comparison for all other cars. We associate it with fond memories or fodders of stories of adventure. And whether brand new or rust bucket, comprised of pieces parts, we had to show it off, didn't we? I don't know what lingo you used, but maybe recent lingo would be, hey, check out my ride. Don't we say that anytime we get, even now, a new or a new to us vehicle? Hey, check out my ride. When my husband acquires a new or a new to him motorcycle, he gets on the phone and he calls his cousin and tells them all about his new ride. And Mike and Nancy recently got a vehicle that's new to them. And the Parados and Zaradkas were some of the first to check out the new ride. On this Palm Sunday, Jesus has a new ride. We don't know if it was actually his first ride or not. We have no other stories in the Bible of Jesus riding on any other kind of animal. So this is certainly the first ride that is mentioned. But Jesus is making an entrance into Jerusalem on a brand new ride. Sure, it was a borrowed ride, but had never been ridden before. He's expecting people to notice. He wants people to notice. And of course, they do. The crowd is also eager to check out Jesus' ride. They thought that Jesus' ride would tell them what kind of Messiah Jesus really was. And they were right. But he wasn't quite what they expected. Jesus chooses his ride very carefully. Our rides often tell us about the kind of person that we are. We personalize our cars. We put on bumper stickers or use decals or dashboard decorations or hang things from the rearview mirror. Some choose a type of car very carefully or pick the color very carefully. Or then they modify their car with a custom paint or custom rims. Or it can simply be the things that we keep in our car that tell people about the kind of person we are. My car is always full of stuff that I carry around all the time, like my CR bag and my music bag. They have to stay in there. My maps have to stay in there. Paper towels have to stay in there. I'm always, things I need to either bring here or take home are in the car. And sometimes they never make it out of the car. They're still in there. Or miscellaneous papers that every now and then I have to throw out. And there are often empty plastic water bottles in the car because they haven't made it to the recycling bin, but I don't want to put them in the trash can. So until I get home to put them in the recycling bin, they stay there. But Jesus, in choosing his ride, he's also making a statement about himself. He's showing what kind of a person he is. He carefully chooses a donkey colt that has never been ridden before. He's fulfilling prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is vindicated and victorious with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In borrowing this brand new ride, Jesus is identifying himself as king, the king of his people. Riding on a donkey was also a sign that Jesus was a king who was coming in peace. The prophets called him the Prince of Peace. And in just a few days, Jesus would tell his disciples that he would leave them peace, a peace which the world wouldn't understand and that the world could never take away. And though I'm sure some in the crowd knew these prophecies, and were reassured by them that this truly is the Messiah, we also know that many others were very disappointed in this king. Though they continued to cheer, they wondered about a humble king. They wanted the victorious king. Victorious kings ride stallions. Where was Jesus' horse? Didn't the prophet say that Messiah is supposed to subdue the nations and overthrow powers? Well, Jesus was getting ready to overthrow something. He would ride into the temple the next day and overthrow the tables of the money changers and the people selling animals in the temple. Jesus was also riding forward as a conqueror, but he was going forth to conquer sin and death and overthrow the power of Satan. He was going to free the world from spiritual slavery and tyranny. And though some misinterpreted Jesus as the weak king, he was much more powerful than they could have ever dreamed. And just as we have fond memories of our first rides, I'm sure Jesus had fond memories of this triumphant procession. But there comes a time in life when we need a new ride. Our cars wear out. They nickel and dime us to death. They rust. And in our Revelation passage, Jesus gets his new ride. It's the ride of his second coming. This time, it's that white war horse that so many were expecting the first time around. The white of the horse symbolizes victory. There is no doubt that this is a strong king. He's wearing a robe dipped in blood, his own blood, showing that he has won the victory over evil. He's wearing his name and identity proudly, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the greatest king ever. The king is ruling in power and might, and nothing else comes close to that power. This time he rules with a rod of iron, which implies, according to Johnson, not a stern rule, but a firm and lasting one. He has many diadems on his head. There is no doubt this time that Jesus is king. Instead of a crowd lining the streets waiting for Jesus, Jesus is followed by a crowd. He's followed by an army of saints who are also dressed in fine linen, white and pure. They are not dressed for war, but they mirror the victory that is already theirs, and they devotedly follow their king. There are people waiting down the road for Jesus, though. It is the rulers of the earth with their armies. They are gathered for war. But there is no battle. Jesus conquers, though not with fighting. He conquers with his word. He speaks truth, and immediately the powers are vanquished. Evil cannot resist the truth. It is utterly powerless. That which has tried to destroy the church is destroyed. Commentator Robert Wall says, "This triumph is public and cosmic. It reverses every social and spiritual dimension of human existence into conformity with the Creator's original good intentions. The Paschal Lamb returns to earth to usher in what is already a reality in heaven. That reality is that evil is defeated and that Jesus is Lord. There's no question that Jesus is Lord and Messiah, the rightful and righteous King that the prophets foretold. He owns all. He owns all nations. Everything belongs to Jesus." Jesus wants us to check out his ride. Like most of the rest of us, Jesus wants to make a statement through his ride. With his first ride, Jesus showed the world that he was the king coming to make peace, peace between us and between God. He showed us that he was humble, that despite his power and his right to lordship, he does not force himself upon the people, and he does not force himself upon us. Jesus shows through his second ride that the work that he set out to do on his first ride was indeed accomplished. In the second ride, he shows that he's king over all, that there is no other option but to bow before him. Every knee will bow. So will you sing and shout his praise, or will you mock him? Will you ride confidently behind him, or will you tremble before him? Someone once said that Jesus wants your attention, your allegiance, and your adoration. So sing and shout your hosannas and hallelujahs proudly with gusto and gladness. Let us pray. Lord, we don't want to be ashamed of you now or at your coming. So give us the courage so that the rocks don't have to take our place in crying out, Hosanna and Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you accomplished through your first ride, that you will reveal to the world on your second ride. Lord, we give you thanks for everything that this week means to us. May we remember this every day of our lives and give you praise and honor and glory. Amen.